one of the things about Sunday mornings I tend to find is that I never get time to have breakfast. And with all this food around me, I'm starting to feel a little bit peckish this morning. So I'm going to make some toast. Would anybody else like some toast? Awesome, great. Has anyone got any bread? No. Well, that's not very helpful, is it? You can't have toast unless you bring bread with you, can you? Okay. It would be a bit awkward if I just left and popped down to Co-op to get some, wouldn't it? So, I'll just make some. Is that all right? I've never made bread before, so I'm going to need some help in terms of actually understanding what I need. If I'm going to make some bread, what am I going to need? Flour. Let's see. Oh, hold on. I brought my apron just in case. Don't want to get messy. Kitchen coat, all right. It's not really an apron, is it? Just adjust the microphone so that we don't... There we go. Right, in my box, I have some flour. Awesome. What else do I need? Sorry? Yeast. Aha. I have yeast. What else? Yeah. No. What else do I need? Water. Thank you. I was wondering how long it would be before we get to that. The bowl to mix it in. Eggs? I don't think you need eggs to make bread, do you? I'm not that experienced, but salt. Salt. Butter. Or oil. That's good, because I've got oil, but not butter. Anything else, or are we there? A handy spoon to measure the oil. Anyone would think you put this box together. Anything else, Toby? Sorry? Weighing scales. Nah. A kettle because your water needs to be. How about a spoon? I suppose I need to knead it really, don't I? Some sugar. Is that what this little pot is here? Excellent. Right, okay, let's get going then, because otherwise we'll be here all morning. Have I washed my hands? There we go. There's a reason I put that sink there. Right, here we go. We're going to be a bit difficult with the measurement. Water first. Okay, good, right. How much? A bit. Next. Flour next. How much flour? A couple of these spoons here. Okay, next. Next thing, oil. In one end. Nice. And who's cleaning the church this week, incidentally? Bit of sugar. And I've got my oil and my yeast. Can I open my yeast packet? There we go. Right, then what do I need to do? Mix it. Lovely. Oh, this is looking good. Bit porridgey. What happens next? I need to knead it. Awesome. Good. And then I need to put it in the bread maker. I didn't bring a bread maker. Somebody said something about proving at some point. I've got to prove the dough? Yeah? How long is that going to take? An hour? We haven't really got time for that, so we'll skip that phase, I think. And then it just goes in the oven, yeah? That's how it works. Second prove. Knead it again. Prove it again. We won't worry about that. Right. Tin spoon. Here we go. I am excited about this. To be honest, it's turned out better than last time I did it. Right, there we go. Is it need? I've kind of skipped the kneading stage because I was worried it was going to take too long. I've got a Paul Hollywood book. Oh, that's not going to help me. Right, okay. Oven on. In we go. How long is that going to take? Half an hour? Okay, awesome. Good. Right. We'll give it a little bit. What can we do when we can't just pop to the shop to get what we want? We can make it. We can think a little bit more creatively. The theme for our harvest service today is all about how God provides for us when we need it. And to do that, we're going to be thinking about the story of Elijah from 1 Kings 17. Now, I know we looked a little bit at Elijah last summer, but just by way of a recap, I thought it might be useful just to remind us of the story so far. So here we go. It begins nearly 3,000 years ago in Israel. And at the time, Israel is ruled by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, Ahab and Jezebel, they don't worship the God of Israel. They don't keep God's laws. And it's not just that they can't be bothered about God. The thing is, they're actually against God. They actively worship a different God who is called Baal. And they want to make sure that everyone else worships Baal as well. But the problem is, they're also into all kinds of evil and wicked stuff, and they do all this bad stuff in the name of their god Baal. So one day, God says, I've had enough of this. And he speaks to a prophet called Elijah. And he says to him, go to the king and tell him there's going to be no more rain. There's going to be a drought. There's going to be no more rain until I say so. So Elijah comes down from his hometown in Tishbe, and there's a little map that just shows us where that is. He goes down to the capital, Samaria, the capital of Israel, and he goes to the palace and he tells the king what God has told him to say. There will be no more rain. Unsurprisingly, King Ahab doesn't take this very well, and he gets very angry at Elijah. So God tells Elijah to leave the court and to travel to a little place called Kerith. And there would be a brook a little stream for him to drink from. And so that's what he does. Sure enough, Elijah arrives at Kereth and there's a brook for him to drink from. And then a raven, a bird, brings Elijah food. He couldn't just pop to the shop. So God arranges for a bird to bring him bread and meat. And this happens every day for several days. But the problem is there's no rain because there's a drought. And eventually the brook dries up. So God says to Elijah, I want you to go to another place. I want you to travel north and go to a little place called Zarephath. And in that little place called Zarephath, you will find a single mum who will give you food and water to drink. So Elijah does what God says. And as he enters the town of Zarephath, he sees a woman collecting some wood. And he says to her, would you bring me a cup of water and a small piece of bread, please? And the lady says, I would, but we don't have any bread. I've got a teeny amount of flour in a jar. I've got a little bit of oil. I'm going to go home and make the last meal that we can. And then we're going to run out of food. And Elijah says, don't be afraid. Go home, make the food for you, make the food for your son, but at the same time, make a small loaf of bread and bring it to me. The Lord has told me that if you do this, your jar of flour and your jar of oil will never run out. So the woman goes home. She does what Elijah has told her. And then there is food for the woman, for her son, and for Elijah, all the way through the period of the drought. The first thing we're thinking about this morning is how God provides for us when we need it. Elijah is in the desert. He's got no access to a shop. God tells him to go to a place where he knew there would be water. I love how hidden in the Bible there are little ironies sometimes that you don't always notice. The word Kereth actually means the valley of drought. There is a drought. Elijah is thirsty, so God sends him to a place called the valley of drought, where he tells him there will be water. Elijah trusts God and he goes. When Elijah's hungry, he sends birds to feed him. Later on, he travels, he's at this lady's house, and God makes sure that her flour and her oil don't run out so that they can continue to eat. Sometimes, even when it's not obvious how we're going to get through a situation, God provides for us. Just as Elijah trusted in God, even when he sent him to a place called the place of the drought, even when he sent him to a woman who has nothing, Elijah trusted in God. He trusted that God would look after him. And we need to do the same as well. We need to trust that God is going to look after us. And so today, we can thank God for his goodness and faithfulness to us, and that when we trust in him, he provides for our needs. Should we check and see how my bread's doing? Yeah, I reckon it's been in for about 7 minutes, so we'll just give it a quick check. Perfect. All done. Sorted. We'll be making some toast later on if anybody wants that. We're going to think a bit more about the story of Elijah in a moment, but before we do, we're going to stand and we're going to sing again the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. So we've thought about how God provided for Elijah, and how he provides for our needs too. Now, I don't know about you. But I personally have never been fed by a raven. Anybody been fed by a raven? No. But I can tell you stories of times when I was a student, and particularly the first time when I was desperately thought of money, and somehow I always had just enough to keep me going. I remember sitting at the top of the stairs one day, praying about my rent, and going, God, if this is what you want me to do, if this is what you're calling me to, I really need some help here. And how the next morning, a check for £250 arrived on my doorstep from one of my friends at church at home. And then getting the whole, like, mind screw thing of God had to answer that prayer before I'd even prayed it in order for it to arrive. Yeah, get your head around that one if you can. But it got me thinking. When we pray for God to provide for our needs, is there a difference sometimes between praying for what we need and praying for what we want? So I thought we'd play a little game this morning. I've chosen 10 things that we might ask God for, okay? And for each one, I want you to vote whether you think it's something that we need or whether it's something that we might want, okay? So if it's something that we think we need, I'd like you to give me a thumbs up. If you think it's something that, nah, we probably just want that, I'm going to give me a thumbs down, okay? Yeah? Clear as mud. Okay. Number one, a new Ferrari. Yeah, something that we might want. We might not, but we might want it. But not really something that we need. Nice, easy one to start off with, I hope. I mean, it is a nice car. I mean, I don't think I'd want to drive it, but, you know, it is a nice car. It's a bit too red for me. Okay, number two, food and water. Yeah, fairly important, food and water, isn't it? Fairly essential for keeping us alive and stuff. Number three, a brand new shiny iPhone 13. Yeah, it's nice, it's great, but not really something that we need, is it? We can get away with our dodgy iPhone 7 if we have to. We can get away with our Samsung whatever, Galaxy, thank you. We can get away without a mobile phone at all. Number four, somewhere to live. Somewhere to live. Yeah, pretty essential, isn't it? Somewhere to keep us warm, somewhere to keep us dry, somewhere to keep us sheltered. Number five, a holiday to Disney World. Oh, we're getting a little bit more controversial now. So, yeah, again, it's nice, it's great. I love Disney, but you can manage without it, can't you? You can get by in life without a holiday to Disney World. Number six, love. Pretty essential, isn't it? Pretty essential that we feel loved by other people. Next one, clothing. Yeah? Again, fairly essential. We need to stay warm. Next one, the best, most up-to-date toys. Yeah, again, they're nice things, they're things we might want, but not essential, are they? Next one. This one is popularity. Do we need to be popular? We might like to be popular. Do we need to be popular? No, most of us are saying no. And finally, faith. Do we need faith? Yeah, I think we do. We all need faith in something, don't we? I mean, from my platform here, I'd want to advocate we all need faith in Jesus. But we all need faith in something. We need faith in the seats that you're sitting on. I think I've done this before, but did anybody come in this morning and look under their pew to check that it was going to hold their weight before they sat on it? Of course you didn't. Because you had faith that the pew was going to hold your weight, because every time you've come into church and sat on a pew before, it has. We need faith. We need faith that God is going to provide for us when we need to. We need to remember that, yes, God will provide for us when we're in need. Yeah, go on then. Thanks. But we also need to remember that God is going to provide what we need and not just what we want. You know, I get it. I love new stuff. I love new technology. I love shiny new toys. I love all of that stuff. And I'm sure we all do it, don't we? We're all sitting and kind of watching TV, maybe, if you've got a TV, or perhaps listening to the radio, and suddenly like an advert comes on. And maybe it's for the shiny new car, or maybe it's for the iPhone 13, or maybe it's for the holiday in Disney, or maybe it's even like an advert for the lottery or something. And your mind starts to wander and go, how would I spend £317 million? God provides for us what we need, which is different sometimes from what we want. When Elijah is in the desert, the raven does not bring him a roast dinner with a glass of white on the side and a cheesecake. Elijah might have liked that. That might have been what he wanted. But God gives Elijah what he needs. And God provides for us what we need as well. Sometimes we get so hung up on stuff, don't we? Food, clothes, money, all of those things. And some of those, yes, are essential. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. God knows that you need these things, and he will take care of you. And it's easy, you could say, well, that's great, Ian, but you don't know how difficult I'm finding life at the moment. You don't know how difficult it is to make ends meet. And that could be true, and it's really important, but sometimes we forget the last part of that quote from Jesus. Jesus says, God knows that you need these things and will take care of you. And then he says, seek God's kingdom first. Do what God wants, and all your other needs will be met as well. Elijah follows God's instructions, and because he follows God's instructions, God gives him everything that he needs. And we need to do the same. We need to be listening to God's call on our lives. We need to be following his instructions. And when we do, God takes care of our needs.